Amen. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. First book, first page. Genesis 1. Can't be hard to find. First book, first page. Genesis 1. First book, first page. When we first started this project, 2001, we found the building, and it was, by many people's estimation and opinion, a very ugly building. It was completely surrounded by concrete, no windows. So we decided to turn it into what we think is a beautiful building. We got an architect to kind of give us some ideas and a general contractor to do the work. We tore it up, and we built it back up to be a beautiful building that it is, and it's an amazing process. And any time that you look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I want to change myself. I want to improve my image. What do? You go look, you may go to Nordstrom's and go to the Maybelline section. I'm a Mac products person myself. All the fellas are going, what's Mac? Girls, that's between you and I, okay? Just, I actually have on Mac products right now as we speak. Hey. All the ladies say, hey. So anyway, you may go to the Mac section, you may go to the Maybelline section, you look at the Gucci, what is in vogue, you look on TV, you may be a Desperate Housewife, so you may get a few tips from them, I don't know, but we take our cues from people and culture when we want to improve ourselves. The only problem when you do that is that you shortchange your potential. The reason is because you weren't made to be like people. You were made to be like God. We're going to see in a minute that we were all made in the image of God. And so the Bible tells us that, let me tell you about your image, and the only thing the Bible tells us about our image is that we were made in God's image, and then the Bible talks about God. So if we learn about God, we'll learn about what we're supposed to strive to be and pray to be and read our Bible to be, is to be like God, not other people. And so what we're going to do over the next 7 weeks, and I hope you stay with us for the next 7 weeks, is we're going to learn about how God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us through his word, through creation, through his son, through the cross, through the church. And what we're going to do is we study these self-revelation of God and the different ways he revealed himself to us. We're going to learn about not only who he is, but we're going to understand and study what does that have to do with us. In other words, next week we're going to look at God's self-revelation through his word. I mean, you can go on forever, but we're going to look at one example. And we're going to learn several things about what it says about who we are. Then we get to that, we're going to look at creation and what we learn about God through creation and what does that say to our image. We're going to look at what he says to us through his son, through the church, and through the cross. And we're going to learn about what does all that mean about who we are and we're created to be. We also have a sermon called The Blurred Image, and we're going to look at how we messed it up as sinners. And that'll be something we probably all identify with better than anything else. But the 7 weeks, and then we'll have a quiz at the end. The 7 weeks, I hope that you stick with us and realize and learn what God's plan is for your life and how he wants to mold and shape you and what he wants to mold and shape you into. That's what we're going to begin with Genesis 1. In the beginning of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light, and he divided the light from the darkness. Then he divided the waters from above the waters for the waters below. Then he divided the waters from the land, and he made land and seas. And on the fourth day, he made the stars and the moon. And the fifth day, he made the fish and the birds. And then he made the land animals. And then after he did all that, he made man and woe man. Everyone say, woe man. That's a girlfriend, okay? She's woe man. And so we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 26. And we're going to look at what he said. Chapter 1, verse 26. He said, let us make man in our image. Everyone say us. Say our. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, ours, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created man in his own image, in the image he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every creep that creeps on the ground. The word, Hebrew word for image is tselem, and it means in likeness or representation. God says, I'm going to make people like no one else or nothing else. to be representatives of me and to walk in my likeness. And we're going to look at five components of your God image. Number one in your notes is that each one of you is an individual personality. Each one of you is an individual personality. It says in Psalm 139, 13, "You were created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." That word "wonderfully made" means separate, to set apart, wonderful, and marvelous. Let me see your hands. Let me say it first and you copy because I want to hear you say it. Say "marvelous." Go ahead, say it. Very good. Let me do it one more time. You do it one more time. "Marvelous." Say it again. When you go home tonight, I want you to look in the mirror and say, "You are simply marvelous." Some of y'all are like, "I already knew that." "I don't need the Bible to tell me that." What God is saying is that when I created you, I made you one of a kind, like nobody on the planet. There is nobody like you. Walk through the mall, walk through your campus, walk through the lobby today when you leave here, and you will never find anyone like you. I was talking to a twin today, this morning. He's a grown man, and he has a twin brother, and they're identical. But then I ask him, "Are you the same?" He says, "We have nothing in common, other than we look the same." Each one of you has your own DNA, your own fingerprint, your own footprint, your own vein pattern in your hand, your own vein pattern in your eye, your own vein pattern in your feet. Every single one of your 100 billion brain cells, every single one of them is different from the other. Every single one of you is unique. Why? Because God didn't want to make a bunch of sayings. He wants to have a very special, intimate, one-on-one relationship with you. The plan he has for your life is only for you. You can't give it to someone else, and you can't take someone else's plan. It's only for you. And so he has a very unique and wants to have a very unique, intimate, one-on-one relationship with every single one of you. And whether you know it or not, he is waiting for that. And he wants to bless you like nobody else. Matter of fact, every star in the sky has its own individual identificational, is that a word? It is now. Identificational twinkle. You can identify a star by its twinkle. Every single one of you has potentially your own twinkle. Individual. Everyone say individual. Individual. Number two, you were created to be a moral mirror. Everyone say moral. You were created to be God's moral mirror that you may reflect his glory. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be ye holy because I am holy." Holy means to be set aside for a divine purpose. How many of you had experience at all in your life in the Catholic Church? Raise your hand. Okay? You know what? All day it's been like 80% of people has experience in Catholic Church. I grew up in a Catholic church 8 years, Our Lady of Lourdes in Long Island, New York, Malvern, New York, and the doors to the front of the church. I don't know about the doors to your front of your Catholic church, but the doors are usually really heavy. Y'all remember heavy doors? And they're like medieval, thick, big old bolts in them, this big old ring metal handle, and you pull it open like this. And you walk in and Jesus is on the cross bleeding, looking at you like, "Yeah, I die for you." You walk in like, scared the mess out of me. And when you go to Catholic Church, and believe me, I learned fear of God in the Catholic Church. Fear of God. From the nuns, we had nuns that would hit us. I'm not even going to say their names because I'm scared still of them. They were the sweetest ladies, but they didn't take no mess. Anyway, when you go into the Catholic Church, you have the holy water. And I used to always wonder what would happen if you drank it. you know, you might start glowing or something. The only reason that water is holy, and I'm sure they prayed over it and all that kind of stuff, but because it was set aside for a specific purpose, and they would baptize the babies in that water, and then you would put it on your head and do the sign of the cross. If you say to God, God, I want to set myself aside for whatever you want, you are holy. And you let God run your life, you are holy. Holy doesn't mean you're perfect and shiny, you never sin. It means that you've been set aside for a purpose, and then God now has your undivided attention. Over the last 90 days, God has been telling me, in preparation for August 26th today, I want you to change these things by August 26th. I want you to eat different food. I want you to drink different water. I want you to rest differently. I want you to exercise differently. I want you to lead differently. I want you to deal with the unexpected differently. I want you to do all these things different. And as I did that, I want you to spend your Sundays different. As I started putting to these systems in place, I started to realize that God was changing my heart. And I was on the Mikey show, the radio show, Friday, and he asked me, are you nervous about today? And I said, no, I'm not really nervous. What emotion is consuming me more than anything is love. Because what God had done is he took me away from all this stuff and said, I'm going to mold and shape you. And once I mold and shape you and this building starts to be completed, you're going to have, the church is going to have more capacity to love, more capacity to help. And I started to feel that. That is what has been overwhelming my heart. What God wants to do with you is take and separate you from the junk of the world, the drama of your school and your classes and all that drama. And he wants to separate you, at least in your heart, so he can mold and shape you to be a moral mirror against which he can reflect his glory and his love and his wisdom and his patience and his kindness. And when it shines on you, it'll just go out to the world and everyone will see it. So when people have an encounter with you, they have an encounter with God, not you. So God says, I'm going to create you to be an individual, and I'm going to create you to be a moral mirror that can reflect everything I am. You're going to speak for me. You're going to listen for me. You're going to look at what I tell you to look at. You're going to meditate on what I tell you to meditate on. You're going to pray for who I tell you to pray. You're going to bless who I tell you to bless. You're going to give what I tell you to give. You are going to represent me. And when people come in contact with you, I want them to come in contact with me. So first, you were individual. Next thing, he made you a moral mirror. Number three is that he's given us the authority and responsibility to rule. He has given us the authority and responsibility to rule. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 26 again. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. Say rule. Over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created him, man, in his own image. God created man to rule over the fish. Say fish. Say birds. Say creeps. Say earth. E-R-F, say earth. He says, I'm giving you dominion over all of that. Let me tell you what he did not say we had dominion over. People. You do not have dominion from God to control people. God says, I want you to control environment. And I want you to create an environment where people can be what I want them to be. When my wife and I had our first child, almost 22 years ago, it'll be 2 months, 22 years, she'll be 22. And when she was born, she had a little cone head. Sometimes when you're born, your head, as it comes through the vaginal canal, it goes into a point. And sometimes that point, it comes to the side. She looked like Gumby. She had this big old. How many of y'all do not know who Gumby is? Okay, just a few of y'all. Gumby. Gumby's the man. Gumby's a Play-Doh brother. Got a little Bobby Brown, little hair cut over the side. But when she was, right before she was born, we got her room together. We got her crib. We painted the walls. We got new blankets. Everything was new because we never had a kid. And we got the room all clean. And what we were doing is that we were exercising our dominion, our authority over her environment. And we were saying, we're going to create an environment for her to grow and to know God and to flourish. God has not, did not give us authority over her to make her something. We are not to control people. When y'all youngins get married, women, don't let a man control you. That's not his authority from God. His authority from God is to create an environment where you can flourish and become the woman of God God created you to be. And ladies, hey, watch out now before y'all start clapping. Don't be trying to... Don't get all happy now because some of y'all she devils can try to control your man, okay? And if you're a she devil, you're married to a he dummy and he'll let you control him. You don't control your man either. You have to say, God, he belongs to you. She belongs to you. Let me love them so I can create an environment where they can be what you want them to be. As an employer, I got to do the same thing. As a teacher, or whatever you do, if you have people under you, a lot of times man and our sinfulness want to control people, make them what we want them to be. God did not give us that authority. That's why it never works out. God don't bless that. He blesses it when you say, how can I help you and how can I make you flourish? What are your gifts? And sometimes that means telling people, breaking up with somebody. Sometimes you're with somebody, it doesn't mean doing what they want. It means being in tune with God to know that's the wrong person for you. You need to cut them loose. So it doesn't mean doing what they want. It means doing what God directs you to do so he could do something in life. And by the way, sometimes God will tell you to do something that you don't agree with. Someone might come for you to help and you say, and God tells you, do not help them. And you don't know why. It's not your job to decide good and evil. Your job is to do what God says. But you need to understand where your parameters lie. Your parameters lie in the environment that you have control over. And when we talk about in 2 weeks, creation, we're going to learn our responsibility to animals and to the world and to the planet and what God has told us to do and why. So number one, we're individual. Number two, we are moral mirror. Number three, God has given you authority over environments to nurture his intended purpose for his creation. And number four, we are God's friend. God created you to be his friend. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. This is Jesus Christ talking. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. When a man has a son, he becomes that little boy's dad, his teacher, his role model, his disciplinarian, but he also becomes his friend. Say friend. He becomes someone that the little boy can play with, have fun with, and laugh with. What God is saying here is that I want you to know I'm your friend. I want to have fun with you. I want to give you a dream that'll blow your mind, and then I want to do it. That's fun. Do you know how much fun it was to do this? And you know how much fun it was to do this when people said it couldn't be done? You know why that was so much fun? Because you can never bet against God. And God says, I want to do something in every single one of your lives. And by the way, what I want to do in every single one of your lives, I only want to do with you. God has fun stuff he only wants to do with you. Some of y'all have siblings, but you loved it when you had your parents to yourself. You know what God says? You got me to yourself. And I want to have fun with you. Yes, I'm your Savior. Yes, I'm your God. Yes, I'm Creator. Yes, I am also judge of those who reject me, but I am your friend. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That means every single one of us is destined to die and go to hell because of our sin. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and died and rose from the dead for our sin. He had no sin. He who had no sin became sin. Why? Because he was our friend. He didn't have to do that. Wasn't obligated, but you know what he said? I'm your friend. What did he just say? No greater love that a man can have for his friend except to lay down his life. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life. So here we are today. He's telling you, people tell you to be scared of me and run from me. And God's saying, no, what you don't understand is, yeah, I'm all of that in a bag of chips because I made everything. But I am and want to be your friend. But I won't force my friendship on you. You have to accept me as your friend and your savior. And then I will love you and show you who and why you are. So number one, with individual, say individual. Number two, or moral mirror, say moral mirror. Number three, say, I have authority to rule. And number four, God says, you are his friend. Say, I'm God's friend. Say, God wants to be my friend. Number five says, we are eternal spirits. God created you to be eternal. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat, you will die. If you don't eat, you won't die. If you eat, you will die. When a man and a woman get married, the woman has a white dress on. And the white is a symbol of purity. The guy has a black tuxedo on because he ain't trying to fool nobody, okay? Just trying to keep it real. That's why he's usually standing like this. Let's get to the I do so I can be innocent again, okay? And they go through the whole ceremony, and they go, you know, for better, for worse, or death do us part. And they say, richer for poor, better for worse, sickness and health. And then they say, till death do us part. Till death do us part. And we were looking for a bank to fund this project 5 years ago. Most of the banks, matter of fact, all the secular, non-Christian banks and credit unions didn't want to talk to us because we were just a year old. But Evangelical Christian Credit Union saw what God was doing and said, we want to walk with you. And they ended up funding the loan, and they've done us very well. And when we first met with them, they said, you know, they were asking me this, what if you, and I said, die? Because if I die, they're going to get the money. And they said, we have insurance, they'll pay you back, key man insurance, blah, blah, blah. They said, good. And then they said, but what if you, and I said, commit adultery and I have to leave the ministry, but I'm not dead? My wife will kill me and then you'll get the insurance money. So either way, you're covered. I'll tell them anything to try to get the loan, right? And so when they say, till death do us part, that death may come when you're sleeping, when your wife is over you with a... When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are married to Him. There is no death. It's eternal. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would never die, would have eternal life. You know what God said? I have made you to be one of a kind. I put special care into my creation of you as one of a kind. I have made you such that people can see you and me as one, that you will be able to reflect my holiness to the world. I've given you authority over certain aspects of my creation. I want to be your friend. And guess what? I want to have that kind of relationship with you forever. That's who you are. The world wants you to think, get what you can now because you're going to die. God is saying, don't worry about trying to get what you can. All you got to do is worry about walk with me and I'll give you more than you can ever get. And you'll never die. And so my hope and prayer is two things for you. One, that you walk with us through this series to learn more and more about who God made you to be. And number two, some of y'all today need to give your life to Christ. You know He made you for more. You know you deserve more. There's more to your life than what you have. And you're right, God has so much more planned for you. but not because you deserve it because you're good, but because God has set it aside for you according to his grace. But all you have to do is receive him as your Savior. All you have to do is receive his forgiveness, his cleansing forgiveness, his mind-renewing forgiveness, and let him begin to shape and mold you into his image and help you understand who you are in his image, help you understand the potential of your God image, and then you will begin to understand who you really are and why you really are. And then you will begin to experience his love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, and see miracles happen through you when you are walking according to his plan for your life. In a minute, we're going to pray. You have two options. One, some of y'all need to ask Christ to be your Savior today. You're ready. You're tired of running from him. You're tired of hiding. You want to be his friend. He has a good plan. You might be thinking, well, if I give my life to him, is he going to hurt me? He don't need for you to give your life to him for him to hurt you. He doesn't go around hurting people. Your pain is because of your sin. He has kept you alive. If anything, he's protected you from hurt. So there's a group of you out there that need to give your life to Jesus. There's another group out there. You've been walking as a Christian, but God is over there. You invite him in when it's convenient. God says, I don't want to have that kind of relationship. I want to be your friend 24/7. I die for you. I want you to give your life to me. You need to surrender as well. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.